My Cousin Rachel by Daphne du Maurier, dramatized by Brian E. Lavery, with Francesca Annis, Philip Voss, and Adam Godley.
They used to hang men here in the old days. Not anymore, though. Now, when a murderer pays the penalty for his crime, he does so up at Bodmin after a fair trial. That is, if the law convicts him before his own conscience kills him. When I was a child, it was otherwise. I can remember, as a little lad, with Ambrose, seeing a fellow hang in chains where the four roads meet.
There you are, Philip. It's what we all come to in the end. There's no escape.
He hung there 5 weeks before they cut him down.
See what a moment of passion can bring upon a fellow. Here is Tom Jenkins, honest and dull, except when he drank too much.
Ambrose prodded the body with his stick.
It's true, his wife was a scold, but that was no excuse to kill her.
The rain had rotted the breeches on his swollen limbs.
Well, what do you make of him?
I shrugged my shoulders, kicked the base of the gibbet with my foot. Ambrose must never know I cared. Felt sick at heart. Terrified.
Tom had a face when I saw him last. Now he looks fresh enough to become bait for his own lobsters.
That's my boy. Spoken like a true philosopher. If we killed women for their tongues, all men would be murderers. If you feel squeamish, boy, go and be sick behind the hedge there. And remember, I have not seen you.
I did not reach the hedge in time. That was all of 18 years ago. I'd not thought of it until today. Was Rachel innocent or guilty? How soft and gentle her name sounds when I whisper it. It lingers on the tongue, insidious and slow, almost like poison, which is apt indeed. Oh, Ambrose.
They tell me if I spend another winter being rained on, I shall end my days crippled in a bath chair. I must leave Cornwall and search for the sun. I've decided on Italy. There are some gardens there I want to see. I wish you were coming with me.
Wouldn't take me long to pack.
Oh, no, I was joking. We can't both be away for months at a time. It's a responsibility, young cousin, being a landowner.
I could travel with you to Rome.
No, no. It's just a whim. Forget it.
You're feeling well enough, aren't you? No aches or pains?
Oh, good God, no. What do you take me for? The trouble is, Philip, boy, I'm too much of a fool about my home.
You went to Italy, Ambrose. I stayed and looked after your home. And in time, the letters started to arrive from Florence.
I have made the acquaintance of a connection of ours. You've heard me talk about the Corrins. A Corrin married an Ashley 2 generations ago. A descendant of that branch was born and brought up in Italy and married off at an early age to an Italian nobleman called Sangaletti, who departed this life by fighting a duel, leaving his wife with a load of debts in a great empty villa. The Countess Sangaletti,
as she insists on calling herself, my cousin Rachel, is a sensible woman, good company, and has taken it upon herself to show me the gardens in Florence. I picture to myself a woman resembling the vicar's wife. Poor Ambrose.
I am beginning to have a real regard for our cousin Rachel.
She becomes monstrous like poor Molly Bate at the West Lodge.
How she exists, I hardly know. But I gather she had to sell much of the valuable stuff in the villa to pay off her husband's debts.
My cousin Rachel has a dozen personalities, each one more hateful than the last. And then...
You must know that your cousin Rachel and I were married a fortnight ago.
I see her forcing Ambrose to his knees to play at bears, the children astride his back, having lost all dignity.
One day, Philip, I hope you will know her. Her goodness. Her real and loving tenderness. Why she has chosen me of all men, I cannot say.
Ambrose, with a bland smile of an idiot on his face, sounding so idiotically happy. So that when the tone of your letters changed, your loneliness struck me as strange in a man, but 10 months married.
I was never one for headaches. But now I have them frequently, almost blinding at times. I miss you more than I can say. My wife is in town today, hence my opportunity to write.
Why my wife suddenly? So formal, so cold.
All is not well with me. You must have seen that when I wrote you last.
In this one, his writing, usually so clear, sprawled across the page as if he had difficulty holding his pen.
Better keep silent, though. She watches me all the time. I have written to you several times, but my letters may not reach you. The doctors are liars, the whole bunch. The new one, recommended by Rinaldi, is a cutthroat. But then he would be coming from that quarter.
Something scratched out then. I can't decipher it still. Neither could my godfather when I took it to him.
Sounds like a mental breakdown. I don't like it at all. It's not the letter of a man in his right senses. I hope to heaven...
Hope what?
Ambrose's father, your Uncle Philip, died of a tumor on the brain. If it is hereditary. There is, of course, another possibility.
And that is?
That Ambrose was drunk when he wrote that letter.
If he had not been over 60 years and my godfather, I would have hit him. I've never seen Ambrose drunk in my life.
Well, I was merely trying to choose the better of two evils.
And then the last letter? A scrap of paper, almost illegible.
For God's sake, come to me quickly. She's done for me at last. Rachel, my torment. If you delay, it may be too late. Ambrose.
I think, Philip, you had better make up your mind to go to Italy.
Mila Sangaleschi, signor.
Thank you.
Grazie. Arrivederla.
Villa Sangaletti, Signor Ambrose Ashley.
Oh, Dio mio. Per un momento credevo sia fossi un fantasma.
I'm looking for Signor Ambrose Ashley. Is he in?
Che cosa c'è?
E questo giovanotto. Chiedi del Signor Ashley. Lo guardi. Guardi a chi rassomiglia.
Do you speak English? Does anyone speak English?
I can speak a little English, Signora. Can I help you?
I have come to see Mr. Ashley. Are he and Mrs. Ashley at the villa?
You are Mr. Ashley's son, Signora?
No, his cousin. Are they at home?
Signor Ashley, he died 3 weeks ago. Very sudden, very sad. As soon as he is buried, the Contessa, she shut up the villa. She went away. I'm sorry, so very sorry.
I need to sit down.
Yes, here. The Signor Ashley, he sat here every day watching the fountain under the tree, Laborno. Come si dice in inglese?
Laburnum.
Laburnum, si. In summer, they always sit here. They take the tisane here after dinner, day after day, always the same.
3 weeks ago? He died 3 weeks ago?
See. The end was very sudden, you understand. He was weak, yes, very weak from the fever. But the violence was all gone.
What do you mean, violence?
The violence that came with the fever. I think the Contessa will not come back. Signor Rinaldi says the villa is to be sold.
Who is Signor Rinaldi?
He arranges all things for the Contessa. Matters of business, matters of money. He knows her for a long time.
I want to see him, Signor Rinaldi.
I give you his address.
Where are Mr. Ashley's things?
Scusi?
His clothes, his books.
The Contessa took everything.
And you have no idea where Mrs. Ashley went?
She has left Florence. After the funeral, that is all we know.
Where is he buried?
In Florence, Signore. In the new Protestant cemetery.
Signor Rinaldi, my name is Ashley, Philip Ashley.
Yes, will you sit down?
You know who I am?
You are cousin, are you not, to the late Ambrose Ashley?
Cousin and heir. You will understand, Signor Rinaldi, that this sudden hearing of my cousin's death is a very great shock to me. Why was I not informed that he was ill?
Your cousin's death was too sudden. He had been ill, yes, but not, as we thought, dangerously so. Mrs. Ashley had no desire to make you and his friends in England anxious.
But we were anxious. That's why I came to Florence. I received these letters from him.
Yes. Mrs. Ashley was afraid he might have written something of the sort. The doctors feared the worst and warned her.
Warned her? Warned her of what?
That there might be something pressing on his brain, a tumor, which would account for his condition. I have here a copy of the certificate of death signed by my own doctor and another. I have sent a copy to the trustee of your cousin's will, Mr. Nicholas Kent.
Do you know my cousin's will?
But of course. As trustee myself to the Contessa, it was my business to see to her husband's will.
These letters are not the letters of a sick man, of a person ill. They are the letters of a man who has enemies, who is surrounded by people he cannot trust.
They are the letters of a man who was sick in mind, Mr. Ashley. You see what he says in the first letter here, that she did not leave him. I can vouchsafe for that. She did not leave him night or day. She nursed him alone. She spared herself nothing.
Why didn't she send for me? If Ambrose had lost faith in her, why not send for me? I knew him best.
Women of feeling do not easily give way. They hold on to the thing they want and never surrender.
If I had been here, he would not have died. I must go.
I will find a servant to show you up. Your cousin's letter, Signor.
I swear to you, Ambrose, whatever pain you suffered before you died, I will return it in full measure upon the woman who caused it. Someday, somehow, I will repay you, Cousin Rachel.
It was a belief of Ambrose's that no young man knows his own mind until he turns 25. And this clause in his will made a safeguard. You'll have to call upon me for money for a further 7 months. Your birthday's in April, isn't it?
Yes, Godfather.
Well, I've read the will to you. It's the same will I drew up 10 years ago. No codicil, you know, upon his marriage. No provision in it for his wife. I'm a little surprised that this Rinaldi makes no mention of any sort of claim on the part of Mrs. Ashley.
Claim? Good God, you talk of a claim, and we know perfectly well she drove him to his death.
We don't know anything of the sort.
But his last letter. She has done for me, Rachel, my torment.
Philip, he was mentally and physically sick and not responsible for what he wrote or said.
I don't believe it. I can't believe it.
You mean you won't believe it, in which case there is nothing more to be said. There's the chaise arriving. Louise will keep you company while I attend to it. Louise?
Yes, Father?
Look after Philip. I have business to attend to.
My godfather is displeased with me. He thinks me too suspicious of this cousin Rachel.
You should have asked that Italian what she was like. I would have done. And what happened to the Count, her first husband? Didn't you say he was killed in a duel? You see, that speaks badly for her too. She probably had several lovers.
How like a girl to picture lovers. I ought to have taken you to Florence with me. You would have learned much more than I did.
Hush, Philip. Father's returning.
Well, now something has got to be done. And you have to decide exactly what and when. She has arrived by boat in Plymouth.
Who has arrived?
Your cousin, Rachel. I have just received this letter.
Philip.
She says, I have brought with me all Ambrose's possessions. His books, his clothes, everything that Philip would wish to have and keep, which now by right belong to him. She awaits instructions from me as to what to do with her husband's possessions. Well, Philip, you can write to her or not, just as you wish. I don't suppose you want to see her. And if she...
Why should you imagine I don't wish to see her? I do wish to see her very much. When you write to Plymouth, say that Philip Ashley is a plain man and lives in a plain fashion, that he is no fine manners, no conversation, and is little used to the society of women, or indeed anyone. If, however, she wishes to see him and her late husband's home, Philip Ashley's house is at the disposal of his cousin Rachel, when she cares to visit it.
I never thought to see you grow so hard. What has happened to you?
Nothing has happened to me. Save that, like a young war horse, I smell blood.
Mr. Philip, there you are. How late you are.
Well?
Madam has come.
So I would suppose. Must be nearly seven. Did she bring luggage? What have you done with it?
Madam brought little of her own. The boxes and trunks belong to Mr. Ambrose. They've all been put in his old room.
Ah. Where is Mrs. Ashley now?
Madam has gone to her room, sir. She seemed tired and asked you to excuse her for dinner. I had a tray taken up to her an hour ago. You're very wet, sir.
I was out walking.
Better change your things or you will take cold.
Yeah, I will directly. Where are the dogs?
I think they followed Madam upstairs. At least old Don did. I'm not certain about the others.
All right, I'll bathe and change.
Madam has sent word that if you should wish to see her when you've dined, she'll be pleased to receive you.
Thank you, Seacombe.
Will there be anything else, Mr. Philip?
No, thank you. Wait, yes. I'll have a glass of brandy.
Come in, Philip.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening. I hope you are rested.
Thank you, Philip, yes.
I hope the dogs are no trouble, ma'am.
None at all. This is Don, isn't it?
Ma'am?
Was he really 14 last birthday?
Ma'am?
Do come, sit down by the fire.
Thank you. What?
How very like Ambrose you are. I had not realized. And thank you, Philip, for letting me come. It cannot have been easy for you.
Not at all, ma'am.
It was a strange feeling driving through the park and up to the house, with Seacombe standing by the door to welcome me. I have done it so many times, you know, in fancy. Everything was just as I had imagined it.
I fear the drive was rather rough.
It did not worry me. I was longing to be here.
I hope you'll be comfortable here in the blue room. Nobody seems to have been here since someone called Aunt Phoebe.
Aunt Phoebe fell lovesick of a curate and went away to Tonbridge to mend a broken heart. But the heart proved stubborn and Aunt Phoebe took a chill that lasted 20 years. Did you never hear the story?
No. Well, what happened to Aunt Phoebe?
The chill left her at the sight of another curate. By then, Aunt Phoebe was 45 and her heart was not so brittle. She married the second curate.
Was the marriage a success?
No, she died on her wedding night.
Of what?
Of shock.
I think you made it up upon this instant.
I did nothing of the sort. Seacombe will know the story. Ask him.
Oh, he would not think it fitting. Are you quite warm?
Ambrose had a great theory that I would shrink and shiver in the damp Cornish climate. Once I came down to dinner wearing a new gown, and he said I reeked of old Rome. You'll freeze in that at home, he said. It will be flannel next to the skin and a woolen shawl. You see, I did not forget his advice.
I think this rain will take off tomorrow. You may take a walk.
Bough Town, in Borden's Meadow, Kemp's Close and Beef Park, Kilmore and Beacon Field, the 20 acres and the West Hills.
You know the names of the Barton lands?
Why, yes, I've known them by heart now for near 2 years.
It's rough walking for a woman.
But I have strong shoes.
Can you ride?
No.
Can you sit upon a horse if you were led?
I might do that. But I would have to hold on to the saddle with both hands.
I'm not sure if we have a lady's saddle.
Perhaps Aunt Phoebe used to ride when she lost her curate. It may have been her only consolation.
See you, Sarah.
Thank you, Seacom. Oh, what a magnificent tray.
I think, madam, I'd better remove the dogs. They might upset the tray.
Yes, Seacom, they might.
What about breakfast, madam?
I would like mine in my room. Mr. Ashley used to say no woman was fit to look upon before 11. Will it give trouble?
Certainly not, madam. Good night, madam. Good night, sir. Come on, dogs.
Would you like some tea? I understand it is a Cornish custom.
I tell you, I've never seen all this silver before.
Is it indeed the thing to do to drink tea after dinner?
Only in high society. I am very flattered. I like my tea. You can eat the bread and butter. That butter is melting. You had better suck your fingers.
Very well.
If you want to smoke your pipe, you can.
In a lady's boudoir? Are you sure? Why, on Sundays when Mrs. Pascoe comes with the vicar, we never smoke in the drawing room.
This is not the drawing room. And I am not Mrs. Pascoe.
I thought women minded about such things.
They do when they have nothing else to worry them. If it's fine tomorrow, will you really find a horse for me that will be steady and quiet so that I can sit upon him and go and see the Barton Acres?
Yes, if you want to go.
Wait, though, you forget it will be Saturday. That's the morning you pay the wages.
Great heavens, how in the world do you know I pay the wages on Saturday?
If you don't know, you have less understanding than I thought. Stay here a moment. I have a present for you.
Cousin Rachel,
Here, take it. It's yours. Everything else you can sort out and see another time, but I wanted to give you this myself tonight.
Ambrose's walking stick. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now go. Please go. Quickly.
I expected you at the stables, Cousin Rachel. Good morning, Tamlin.
Mr. Phillips, sir.
I've been out since 10:30. I looked for you to ask permission, but could not find you. So I did a bold thing and went down myself to Tamlin's cottage to make myself known to him, didn't I, Tamlin?
You did, ma'am.
You see, Philip, I brought with me to Plymouth all the plants and shrubs that Ambrose and I collected during the past 2 years. I have the lists with me where he wished them to go. I thought it would save time.
That's all right. You both understand these things better than I do. Please continue.
We finished, haven't we, Tamlin? And will you please thank Mrs. Tamlin for the cup of tea she gave me and tell her that I do hope her sore throat will be better by this evening. Oil of eucalyptus is the remedy. I will send some down to her.
Thank you, ma'am. I've learned some things this morning, Mr. Phillips, sir, that I never thought I'd learn from a lady. Miss Ashley no more built gardening than I do or ever will. Proper ignorance she's made me feel.
Nonsense, Tamlin. I only know about trees and shrubs. As to fruit, I haven't the least idea how to grow a peach. You shall show me tomorrow.
Whenever you wish, ma'am.
If you've been out since 10, you'll want to rest now.
Rest? Who talks of resting? I've been looking forward to my ride all morning. Look at the sun. Are you going to lead me?
I'll lead you. I warn you, you may be able to teach our head gardener about camellias, but you won't be able to do the same with me and farming.
Cousin Rachel?
Philip, do you mind my sitting here? The drawing room is lovely by daytime, but somehow at evening with the curtains drawn and candles lit, the library seems the best. Besides, it was where you and Ambrose always sat together.
Yes. You have nothing like this at the villa.
No, there is. How do you know that?
You should know that I learnt of Ambrose's death in Florence, at the villa from your servant.
You went to Florence? When? How long ago?
I've been home a little under 3 weeks. I spent one night in Florence, the night of the 15th of August.
The 15th of August? But I only left for Genoa the day before. It isn't possible.
It's both possible and true.
Why didn't you tell me? Why have you let me stay in the house 24 hours and never breathed a word of it? Last night, you should have told me last night.
I thought you knew. Anyway, there it is.
You know now.
You went to the villa. Giuseppe would open the gates and see you standing there, and he would think... Tell me why you went to Florence, Philip.
I had received disturbing letters from Ambrose. Do you want to see them? I have them here.
Give them to me. Only these two letters?
Only those two.
Nothing after Easter or Whitsun, did you say, until these came?
No, nothing.
How you have hated me.
Yes.
Why did you ask me here?
To accuse you.
To accuse me of what?
I'm not sure. Perhaps of breaking his heart, which would be murder, wouldn't it?
And then?
To watch you suffer. Then I suppose to let you go.
That was generous. More generous than I should deserve. Still, you have been successful. You have got what you wanted. Go on watching me until you have had your fill.
It's no use. Ambrose always told me I'd make a rotten soldier. Give me the letters. There. Let them burn.
It's no use either. When both of us remember what he said.
I can forget if you will too. There's something clean about a fire. Nothing remains. Ashes don't count.
If you were a little older, or your life had been different, if you were anyone but yourself and had not loved him quite so much, I could talk to you about those letters. I won't, though. I would rather you condemned me. I will leave on Monday, and you need never think about me again. Although you did not intend it to be so, last night and today were deeply happy. Bless you, Philip.
I don't condemn you. I can't go on hating a woman who does not exist.
But I do exist.
You're not the woman I hated. I'm sorry, I was jealous. The trouble is that I've never known anyone or loved anyone in the world but Ambrose.
And he loved you so much. You might have been his son. He was so proud of you. Why, Philip, if you have been jealous of me these 18 months, I think we are quits. It is late.
I'm not tired.
We still have tomorrow.
Why only tomorrow?
Because I go on Monday. I came only for the weekend.
There's no need to go. When you've only just arrived, you've not seen everything yet, and the plants and the cuttings are yet to arrive. You have to discuss it with Tamlin, and there are Ambrose's things to go through and sort.
I thought you could do that by yourself.
Why? When we could do it both of us together. What is it? Why do you look at me, sir?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You don't hate me anymore.
No. I told you, it was not you. It was another woman. Do you hate me?
No. There was also some other man. A horrid boy, so spoilt and prim. Why, he went yesterday as soon as you walked into Aunt Phoebe's boudoir. Come here. Your first kiss. The first you ever had, and if you don't like it, you can pretend I didn't give it to you, but that it came from the other woman. It's almost Sunday. Good night.
Good night, Cousin Rachel.
I told you all eyes would be upon you. They were standing in the aisles.
I'd better put up my veil now so that they may all see me.
Oh, there's my godfather and Louise.
Oh, great heaven.
What's the matter?
I promised to ride over yesterday to see Louise and forgot all about it.
That was not very gallant. I hope she snubbed you well.
I shall blame it on you.
Why did you not tell me?
I forgot.
If I were Louise, I would take that in bad part. You could not offer a woman a worse excuse.
Louise isn't a woman. She's younger than myself. I've known her since she ran around in petticoats.
She has feelings just the same.
Mrs. Ashley, I presume.
Mr. Kendall. And this must be Louise. Philip, would you not like to conduct Miss Kendall in your carriage, and I will go with Mr. Kendall in his.
Why, certainly, if you prefer it.
That seems to me a very happy arrangement. This way, Mrs. Ashley.
Look here, Louise, I'm sorry. My cousin Rachel wished to see the Bath Makers yesterday, so I accompanied her.
Oh, don't apologise. I waited about 2 hours, but it didn't matter. I guessed something of the sort had kept you. She's very beautiful.
Beautiful? My dear Louise, you must be mad.
Oh, no, I'm not. Ask my father. Ask anyone. It's only because you are so blind to women that you have not noticed it.
Never heard such nonsense. Perhaps she has fine eyes, but otherwise she's quite ordinary. The most ordinary person I've ever met.
Well, ordinary or not, she certainly seems to have made a great impression on you. Of course, she is middle-aged. Quite 35, I should say. Wouldn't you?
She could be 99 for all I care.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Women don't have eyes like that at 99. Capital luck, Mrs. Ashley.
Thank you, Miss Pascoe.
Mary.
Mary, how fine.
There are so many people who desire your acquaintance, but I think you can reckon upon engagements every afternoon for the next 4 weeks.
Oh, she can do that very well from Pauline, more so than here. I rather believe I have the pleasure of her company within a day or two.
Yes, Papa.
Not so, sir. My cousin Rachel remains here for the present. She has the rest of the estate.
Oh, well, yes, of course, very right, very possible. Well, if you find yourself uncomfortable or would like a woman's company, I know my daughter will be only too ready to receive you.
Of course, Papa.
You are very kind and more than generous. When I have done my duty here on this place, we will start it again, shall we? Meanwhile, believe me, Grace. Mary, your mother is waving.
You're coming, Mama.
Goodbye, Mr. Kendall. Vicar, Mrs. Pascoe, the carriage door is not properly closed, Mary. Goodbye, Louise.
Goodbye, Mrs. Ashley.
Goodbye. Have you enjoyed yourself?
I have. I don't know why. Usually I find Sundays a great bore. It's because I'm not a conversationalist. All I had to do today was sit back and let you do the talking for me.
That's where a woman can be useful. It's part of their training. Instinct warns them what to do if conversation flags.
Yes, but you don't make it obvious, unlike Mrs. Pascoe, who goes on and on.
So it was pleasant.
Why, yes, I've told you so.
Then you had better hurry up and marry your Louise and have a real hostess, not just a bird of passage.
Marry Louise? Don't be absurd. I don't want to marry anyone. And she isn't my Louise.
Oh, I rather thought she was. At least your godfather gave me that impression. He said Louise understood you very well, as you did her. I hope you apologized to her for your bad manners on Saturday.
Yes, but it did not seem to make much difference. I've never met Louise in so vile a humor.
She is a nice, good-looking girl and very capable.
She thinks you are beautiful. So do the Miss Pascoes.
How very flattering. Louise would make you an excellent wife.
Cousin Rachel, will you be quiet?
Yes.
And another thing you can be quiet about is this nonsense of visiting everybody. What's wrong with this house and with my company?
Nothing as yet. And what shall I do instead of visiting everybody?
Why, let them visit you.
And what shall I do when nobody visits?
You can sketch or sing like the Miss Pascoe.
I neither sketch nor sing. I'm afraid you are suggesting things for which I am entirely unsuited. I shall call upon your neighbours for the purpose of giving them lessons in Italian. That would suit me better.
Only spinsters give lessons when they've no one to support them.
And what do widows do who find themselves in similar circumstances?
Widows? Oh, widows marry again as fast as possible. Or sell their rings.
I see. Well, I intend doing neither. I prefer giving lessons in Italian.
Oh, God. Cousin Rachel, I didn't mean... So you understand, something will have to be done, and right away.
Why, if it should reach Mrs. Pascoe's ears that Mrs. Ashley considers giving lessons in Italian, it would be about the country in 24 hours.
Oh, disgraceful. Quite out of the question. We'll never do at all. The matter is a delicate one, of course. We have no means of knowing the extent of her private income.
I believe everything went to pay Sangaletti's debts. She may have scarcely a penny to her name. We must do something for her, and today.
I'm very glad, Philip, that you have changed your attitude.
I was mistaken.
Well, then, I will write a letter to Mrs. Ashley and the bank. And the best plan would be to pay a quarterly check from the estate into an account for her. Now, as to the sum, what do you suggest?
I have considered. I wrote this.
Ooh, that is generous. Rather over generous. She'll hardly need as much as that.
Oh, for God's sake, don't let's be niggardly. Let's do this thing as Ambrose would have done it.
Who is it?
It's me, Philip. I've come to tell you that dinner will be early tonight.
Oh, good. I have been gardening with Tamlin and am ravenous. There is so much to be done. The undergrowth must be cleared and the walk laid down, and the whole ground there given up to camellias. So that in less than 20 years you could have a spring garden there. The whole of Cornwall would come to see.
I know. That was what Ambrose intended.
He needs careful planning and not just left a chance in Tamlin. Philip, must I shout all this conversation through the door? I've had my bath and now I'm drying my hair. I am pinned up and presentable and look exactly like Aunt Phoebe. You may come in.
I didn't think...
Come, let's sit down. Don't look so startled.
Forgive me, but the point is that I have never seen a woman in undress before.
This isn't undress. It's what I wear at breakfast. Ambrose used to call it my nun's robe. At 24, it is high time you saw a pleasantly homely sight such as Aunt Phoebe doing up her hair. Are you embarrassed?
Oh, not in the slightest. Merely stunned.
There, it is done. I'll be dressed in a trice. Wait there.
Oh, what is it, Seacomb? Is dinner ready?
No, sir. Mr. Kendall's man, Dobson, has written over with a note from Adam.
I think I'll go below and wait for you in the library.
No, don't go. I'm already dressed. Thank you, Seacomb. We can go down together. Here is a letter from Mr. Kendall. Perhaps he invites us both to Berlin. What have you been doing?
Doing? Nothing. Why?
Don't lie, Philippe. You don't know how. You have been to Perlin.
I may have done. What of it?
You made him write this letter.
No. He wrote it of his own accord. There was business to discuss and...
And you told him your cousin Rachel proposed giving lessons in Italian.
Not exactly.
Surely you realized I was only joking when I told you that. If you wish to humiliate me, by heaven, you have gone the right way about it.
I don't see why you have to be so proud.
Proud? How dare you call me proud?
I shall call you proud. Damnably proud. It's not you who is likely to be humiliated, but me.
Is there anything shameful in giving lessons in Italian?
For Mrs. Ambrose Ashley, yes. It reflects upon the husband who neglected to make provision for her in his will. And I, Philip Ashley, his heir, won't permit it. You will take the allowance every quarter, Cousin Rachel, and when you draw the money from the bank, please remember that it does not come from the estate, nor from the heir to the estate, but from your husband, Ambrose Ashley.
Mr. Phillips, sir?
What is it, Seacomb?
Just brought Madam's tray, Dane. She asked me to give you this.
Thank you, Seacomb.
Good night, sir.
Dear Philip, if you can bring yourself to do so, please forgive me for my rudeness to you tonight. It was unpardonable to behave so in your house. I have no excuse, except that I am not entirely myself these days. Emotion lies too near the surface.
I have written to your guardian, thanking him for his letter and accepting the allowance. It was generous and dear of you both to think of me. Good night, Rachel.
Who is it?
Philip. You're in bed.
Yes.
I have just read your note. I wanted to say thank you for it and to say good night.
It would not worry me to give Italian lessons. I have no pride about that sort of thing. What I could not bear was when you said my doing so would reflect badly on Ambrose.
I would much rather you hit me than that you cried.
I will take the allowance, Philip. Then I think I should leave here and move elsewhere. Perhaps to London.
I thought you liked it here. Going about the estate, visiting the tenants, was that all show?
Sometimes, Philip, I think you lack all understanding.
There's really only one consideration, whether you yourself desire to stay. If you really want to go, I cannot keep you.
Why do you ask that? You know I want to stay.
Then you will remain for a little while to do the garden as Ambrose wished.
I will remain. For a little while.
Very well, then. I will bid you good night. Your letter to my godfather, would you like me to put it in the post bag?
Seacombe has taken it.
Then you will sleep now and not be angry with me anymore.
I wasn't angry, Philip.
But you were. I thought you were going to hit me.
Oh, sometimes you are so stupid that I think one day I shall. Come here. Bend down. Now go to bed like a good boy and sleep well.
Good night. Everything all right, Seacombe?
I was just about to lock the post bag, sir. Anything from you, Mr. Philip?
No, Seacombe. Have you got Mrs. Ashley's letter?
Both of them, sir.
Both of them?
The one to Mr. Kendall, sir. And the one to the Italian gentleman, Signor Rainaldi.
Philip, look here. What do you think of my shrub planting?
Very fine. Do what you want to do. I have no eye for lime.
But I want the result to please you, Philip. All this belongs to you and one day to your children.
Stop talking about children. I'm resolved to remain a bachelor.
Oh, for shame. Why?
I have a shrewd guess that the blessings of marriage are not all they claim to be. If it's warmth and comfort that a man wants and something beautiful to look upon, he can get all that from his own house if he loves it well.
Oh, one day, when you fall in love, I shall remind you of those words. Warmth and comfort from stone walls at 24? Oh, Philip. Look here. This is feverfew. With my love of gardening goes a knowledge of herbs. In Italy, we always make a study of these things. We make a tisana out of them as a remedy for any sickness.
You will take the place of the midwife they will send for you in the night.
And I will take a tisana of raspberry leaves and nettles. If a woman drinks that for 6 months before the birth, she has a baby without pain.
That's witchcraft. They wouldn't think it right to do so.
What nonsense. Why should women suffer?
It's raining. You cannot garden. I cannot ride the estate. What should we do?
I should select brocade for the blue room.
Too expensive.
My treat. Or we could have a party, Philip. The prettiest young women for you and the best favored widowers for me. There is heavy betting upon Louise for you, and the third Miss Pascoe is given a sporting chance.
Great heavens, Belinda Pascoe? I'd sooner marry Katie Searle, who does the washing.
I do not escape discussion. A list of eligible widowers has been given to me. There is a prima donna in West Cornwall declared to be the very thing. 50 an heir, and both daughters married.
Not old St. Ives?
Why, yes, I believe so. They say he's charming.
He's always drunk by midday, and creeps around the passages after the maids. Yes, Seacombe.
The weather being so inclement, sir, I thought the boys might be put to extra cleaning within doors. Your room needs attention, but they cannot dust there while Mr. Ashley's trunks and boxes cover the floor.
You're quite right, Seacombe. The boys cannot clean the room until the boxes are unpacked. We have left it far too long. Well, Philip, what about it?
Very well, if you're agreeable. Let's have the fire lit, and when the room is warm, we'll go upstairs.
His dressing gown, slippers, all his clothes. What shall we do with them?
I don't know. It's for you to say.
Would you wear them if I gave them to you?
No. No, I don't think so.
I think that if you don't want them, Philip, the people on the estate here who loved him might like to have them. You will know best what to give and to whom this summer suit, it should be pressed. The trunk, a trunk is always useful.
Come here.
Oh, you loved him so.
I don't mind. A man can do these things. It's not easy for a woman. Let me do it, Rachel. Go downstairs.
No, I'm better now. And I have unpacked the clothes. The books are easier. Look. Oh, volume of drawings of the layout of gardens. This will be useful to us. Look, I will go through these.
Ambrose's Bible. What's this? Scrap of a letter.
It's a disease, of course. I've often heard of it. Like kleptomania or some other malady. And has no doubt been handed down from her spendthrift father. This much I do know, dear boy, that I cannot any longer, nay, I dare not, let her have command over my purse, or I shall be ruined, and the estate will suffer. It is imperative that you warn Kendall.
What is it there?
Nothing.
That was Ambrose's writing. What was it? What is the letter?
It was just some note he'd made on an old scrap of paper. It was nothing, I tell you.
I brought the new coverings, madam. Perhaps Mr. Philip would care to see them.
Coverings? What covers are they?
For the blue bedroom. I thought this blue for the bed hangings, and the deeper blue and gold for the curtains, and the quilting for the coverlets. What do you say, Philip? Hmm? Do you like them?
I like them very much, but are they not very dear?
Oh, yes, they are dear. Any stuff like this is dear, but it will last for years, Philip. Isn't that so, Seacombe?
Yes, madam.
The only thing that matters is whether you like them, Philip.
Why, yes. Who could help but like them?
Then they are yours. A present from me. Take them away, Seacombe. I will write to the merchant in the morning and say that we will keep them.
Madam.
Something's the matter. What is it?
You should not give me a present like that. It will cost you far too much.
But I want to give them to you. You have done so much for me. It's such a little gift to give in return.
It's very sweet of you, but I don't think you should do all the same.
Philip, what was really on that piece of paper you threw in the fire this morning?
The paper? What paper?
You know perfectly well.
It was a piece from a letter, a letter I think Ambrose must have been writing to me. He simply expressed himself as worried about expenditure. I threw it on the fire because coming upon it just at that moment might have saddened you.
Was that all? I wondered so much I could not understand. Poor Ambrose. It was a constant source of worry to him what he considered my extravagance. He was so generous those first months. You cannot imagine, Philip, what it meant to me. At last, someone I could trust and love as well. That's why it was so hard to understand the way he changed.
You mean he wasn't generous anymore?
He was generous, yes, but not in the same way. He would buy me things, pieces of jewelry, as if he were trying to test me in some way. If I asked him for money for the house, he would not give it to me. Eventually, I had to go to Rinaldi.
Did Ambrose find out that you did?
Yes. He hated Rinaldi. I had to meet Rinaldi furtively away from the house. He trusted no one, sent the servants away, the doctors. Oh, God. I did not mean to tell you all this.
Why not?
Because I wanted you to remember him as you knew him here. We were wrong to touch his things. I felt it from the first. We have let something loose that was not with us before. Some sort of bitter feeling.
Rachel, come here. There is no bitter feeling in this house. This house is mine. Bitterness goes with people when they die. From now on, you're going to remember Ambrose as I remember him. You belong here now. Just as he did, just as I do. We are all part of this place together. Do you understand?
Yes. Why are you so good to me, Philip?
I'm not good to you. I only want you to be happy. And besides, Christmas is coming.
These are the rubies, Mr. Russell. The ruby headpiece and the ruby earrings to go with it.
I had no idea the collection was so fine.
Your family is fortunate in its jewels, Mr. Ashley. This is a collar of pearls. It fastens round the neck with a single diamond clasp.
I like this. This is the finest thing in the whole collection. I remember my cousin Ambrose showing it to me as a child.
Your grandmother wore it as a bride, and your mother also. In point of fact, I think she was the last to do so. Yes, a beautiful thing. No woman has put it on for 25 years.
Well, I want to keep it now.
If this should be lost or mislaid, it would be a terrible thing.
It won't be lost.
I take it Mr. Kendall would have no objection.
Of course not. The matter is quite understood.
I hope so. Of course, in April, when you come into the property legally, it would not matter if you took the whole collection.
I will take only the collar of pearls. A pleasant Christmas to you and the bank, Mr. Cooch. those who desire to do so may go outside and return again. In 5 minutes' time, Mrs. Ashley and I will give you presents from the tree. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to you, Godfather, and happy Christmas. How did you find Exeter?
Cold. Cold and dreary. Mrs. Ashley, forgive me, I really must comment upon it. What a beautiful pearl collar you're wearing. I've had eyes for nothing else all evening.
Yes, it's a very proud possession.
Excuse us, Mrs. Ashley. Philip, I'll be glad of an opportunity to have a word with you.
Yes, what is it?
I've had a communication from the bank that I find decidedly disturbing.
Ah, from Mr. Cooch, I suppose.
Yes, he advises me, as is right and proper, that Mrs. Ashley is already several hundred pounds overdrawn on her account.
Oh?
I don't understand it. She can have very few expenses here. It occurs to me that she is sending money out of the country.
She is very generous. You must have noticed that tonight, a present for each one of us.
No, I don't doubt her generosity. But presents alone cannot account for such an overdraft. Already the sum we decided on has been doubled, nearly trebled. What are we to decide for the future?
Double, treble the amount we give her now. Obviously what we gave her was not sufficient.
But that is preposterous. Another thing, Philip. That collar is part of the collection of the estate, and you have not the right to remove it.
It is mine. I can do what I like with my property.
The collar is not yours for a further 3 months.
Oh, what of it? 3 months pass quickly. No harm can come to the collar in her keeping.
I am not so sure.
Good God, what are you suggesting? That she might take the collar and sell it?
Since going to Exeter, I have come to learn a little more about your cousin Rachel.
What the devil do you mean?
I have met old friends who knew the Sangalettis. Both were notorious for unbridled extravagance and, I must add, for loose living. The duel in which Sangaletti died was fought because of another man. My friends feared your cousin Rachel would run through Ambrose's entire fortune within months. Luckily, it was not so. Ambrose... I'm sorry, Philip, but this news has much disturbed me.
Who are these old friends? How dare they repeat 10-year-old gossip?
No, never mind that now. I am sorry. But as your guardian, I must ask you to desire her to return the collar.
Can I? I gave it to her as a present. I cannot.
Then I must do it for you.
I'll be damned if you will.
I'm sorry. I could not help but overhear you. Yeah. I don't want either of you to embarrass yourselves on my account. It was dear of Philip to let me wear the pearls tonight. And quite right, Mr. Kendall, of you to ask for their return. Here they are.
No!
Please, Philip.
Thank you, Mrs. Ashley. You understand that the collar...
I understand perfectly. Do you need wrapping for it?
Thank you, no. My handkerchief will do. And now I think that Louise and I will say goodnight. Thank you for a delightful and successful dinner, Philip. And I wish you both a happy Christmas.
Good night, Mrs. Ashley. Philip?
Well, it's spoilt now. Whole evening, the whole of Christmas. Everything's wasted.
You are like a child running to me with empty hands. Poor Philip.
I'm no child. I'm 25 years old, but 3 blasted months. My mother wore those pearls on her wedding day. Before that, my aunt, and before that, my grandmother. Don't you realize why I wanted you to wear them too?
Why, yes. That's why I was so happy and so proud. You wanted me to wear them because you know that had I been married here and not in Florence, Ambrose would have given them to me on our wedding day.
That's not really what...
Shh, 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 shh. Let's enjoy the rest of our Christmas.
Well, Sam, I'm sorry to find you in bed. What's the matter?
Oh, the same old cough, Mr. Phillips, sir, that catches me aback every spring. My father had it before me. One day it will carry me to the grave, the same as it did him.
Oh, nonsense, Sam. Those are old tales they spread, that what a man's father had will kill the son.
There's truth in it, sir, and you know it, too. How about Mr. Ambrose and his father? Brain sickness did for the pair of them.
You must send your daughter to Mrs. Ashley for some cordial to cure your cough. She has great knowledge of such things.
I will, Mr. Philip. I will. But first, I felt it right to ask you to come yourself concerning the matter of the letter.
What letter, Sam?
Mr. Philip, on Christmas Day, you and Mrs. Ambrose kindly gave me a coat belonging to the late master. Wear it I would not, Mr. Philip. 'Twould have been presuming on my part. So I put the coat away in the press. Then when this cough seized me, I don't know how it was, but a fancy came upon me to wear the coat, which I did, Mr. Philip, for the first time yesterday. It was then that I found the letter.
You found a letter in the pocket?
What had happened, Mr. Philip, was the letter must have slipped down inside the material of the coat and the lining. Smooth in the coat, I felt the crackling of them, and made so bold as to open up the lining with a knife. And there it is, sealed and addressed to you by Mr. Ambrose himself. It seemed, if you understand, as though I had come upon a message from the dead.
I believe I told you of her kleptomania. Whether hereditary or not, I cannot say, but I believe so. And believe also that the loss of our child, only a few months on its way, did her irreparable harm. The recklessness with money becomes progressive. She has a tendency to evasion, to lies, to withdrawal from me. She turns more and more to Rinaldi. I suspect he is in love with her. has been for years. He gives her money. God forgive me. It is at present the only way to her heart. He keeps asking me about my will. I've drawn up a new one, making provision for her, but have not dared sign it as she is now. She watches me. It is as though she is afraid. Afraid of what? Of whom? 2 days ago, which brings me to the reason for this letter, I had another attack. I'm seeing this with pains and sickness driving me to near violence. I can hardly stand. I have no power over my limbs. I do not recollect my father being thus. One thought possesses me, leaving me no peace. Are they trying to poison me?
I did not tear the letter. I dug a hole for it deep in the woods. I buried the letter deep in the dark earth, then I smoothed the place with my hands. As I climbed the hill, I heard the laughter and chatter of the men as they went home from work. I stood for a moment and watched them trudge off across the park. They had been preparing the foundations for Rachel's sunken garden. The scaffolding placed against the walls where they had been working all day looked bleak and bare. In 3 weeks' time, I shall be 25. Do you know what happens on that day?
All wishes should be granted. What will you wish for, Philip?
I shall not know until the day comes. The property becomes mine to do with what I will. The pearl collar, the jewels, I can give them all to you.
Oh, no. No, I would not take them. They are for your wife when you marry.
It's only through error that the jewels, the house, are not yours.
If there was error, I am used to it. In 3 weeks' time, after your birthday, I must leave.
Supposing Ambrose had made a will, leaving the property to you for your lifetime, with a proviso that I ran the estate for you, what would you have done?
How do you mean?
Would you have lived here? Would you have turned me out?
Turned you out? From your own home? Why, Philip, how could you ask such a thing?
You would have stayed then?
Yes.
What happened to the will?
What will?
The will that Ambrose made and never signed, in which he left the property to you.
How did you...
Get it for me, Rachel.
Very well.
And Rachel, why did Ambrose not sign the will? Tell me.
I never knew. I think when he realized I could not, after all, have children, he lost belief in me. Some sort of faith went, though he never knew it.
So it was through error that the will was never signed.
Call it error, if you like. His manner changed, his headaches drove him to violence. I was afraid.
And you had no friend?
Only Rinaldi.
I have a reason for asking these questions. You will know it in 3 weeks' time.
So this document now disposes of the entire property to your cousin Mrs. Rachel Ashley upon the 1st of April, when it becomes yours by law. There are family jewels, I believe.
Oh, they are hers, Mr. Tewin, to do with as she pleases.
One thing, we have no proviso should Mrs. Ashley marry again.
That is not likely to happen.
Possibly not, but she is still comparatively a young woman, is she not?
In the case of her remarriage, the property reverts to me. That is most definite.
And this is to be ready in legal form by the 1st of April?
My birthday, yes.
You're doing a very generous thing, giving everything away the moment it is yours.
It should never have been mine to begin with if my cousin Ambrose had put his signature to that will. Good day, sir.
Oh, Philip, you are home. Come into the drawing room. This visitor of mine, you shall not escape. He has traveled very far to see us both.
You did not expect me, and I make my apology. But then neither did I expect you when I saw you first.
Signor Rinaldi.
Imagine, Rinaldi has been in London for over a week. I was never more surprised when Seacombe announced him.
I hope this surprise will give you great pleasure. Like the time in Rome when Cosimo and I turned up for the party at the Castellucci's.
I had forgotten.
I have not forgotten, nor the color of your gown. It was like amber. Also, Benito Castellucci had presented you with flowers. I saw his card and Cosimo did not.
Oh, Rinaldi, you are very bad for me.
Madam, sirs, dinner is ready.
I came to wish you good night.
Thank you. I wish you the same. Where have you been all evening?
Out, walking the grounds.
Why did you not come here for your tisana as usual?
I did not care to do so.
You are very ridiculous. You behaved at dinner like a sulky schoolboy in need of a whipping.
I'm sorry?
Rinaldi is an old friend.
Is that why you let him linger in your boudoir until 11?
Was it 11? I did not realize.
How long is he going to stay?
That depends on you. If you are civil and invite him a few days. What is the matter? Why are you so foolish?
Who was Benito Castellucci that he had to give you flowers?
He was old and very fat and his breath smelt of cigars. And I love you much too much.
Rachel.
Go to bed. Rinaldi will soon be gone. And then we may celebrate your birthday.
This time, Mr. Cooch, I have come to take it all away.
The account?
No, the family jewels. Tomorrow they become my legal property. I wish them to be in my custody when I awake upon my birthday.
You wish to indulge a whim as at Christmas?
That, Mr. Cooch, is really my affair. The whole collection, please, Mr. Cooch.
Very good, sir. Shall I have them brought to your house in the brougham?
No, Mr. Cooch. You may put them here, in this wicker basket. I will take them with me.
Philip, this new will of Ambrose's is dated but not signed.
It would have been signed but for his illness. Thus my conscience tells me that I've been enjoying something that is not mine by right. Therefore, I want you to read this document I've prepared.
Your cousin Rachel has no knowledge of this document?
No.
You're quite determined upon this course?
Quite.
Does her advisor Rinaldi know of this?
Most certainly not.
Philip, forgive me, but I have known you since birth. You are completely infatuated with your cousin, are you not?
I respect and honor my cousin Rachel more than anyone I know.
The whole county whispers of this.
Let them whisper.
There is only one way out of the gossip. That she should marry again.
I believe that is most unlikely.
I suppose you have not thought of asking her yourself.
I would not dare do so. She would not have me.
There are some women, Philip, good women very possibly, who through no fault of their own impel disaster. Whatever they touch somehow turns to tragedy. I don't know why I say this to you, but I feel I must. Very well, then, sign. Everything will be heard. And take the consequences of your action.
Rachel! Cousin Rachel!
What do you want? I was 3 hours asleep and you have woken me.
I want to give you something.
Can it wait until morning?
No, it has to happen now. I'm coming up.
What in the world have you got in the basket? Have you got lobster meat in there or crabs?
Haul away. The basket has some weight.
These packages are odd shapes. I know they are going to bite. Be careful, you will fall and break your neck.
There.
Why is your head so wet?
I've been swimming. Open up the packages, or I shall do it for you.
For heaven's sake, put something round you. Oh, Philip. I think you have gone raving mad.
Not mad. It's only that I've become this minute 25. Listen.
This document, you can read at your leisure. But the rest I want to give you now. This, and this, and this.
Philip, you are out of your mind. What have you done?
All this is for you. If I possessed the world, you should have it also.
And I have nothing for you but a gold pin for your cravat. Is there nothing else you want? Tell me, and you shall have it. Anything you ask.
I told you once that I had all the warmth and comfort that I needed within four walls. Have you forgotten?
No. I have not forgotten.
I spoke in error. I know now what I lack.
Do you? Are you very sure?
More sure than of anything on earth.
Put out that candle. Come here to me, Philip.
To your 520 years. Long life and happy.
Yes, long life and happy.
Happy birthday, Philip.
I too have a toast I wish to drink tonight. Since this morning, I have been the happiest of men. I want you, Godfather, and you, Louise, to drink to Rachel, who is to be my wife.
What?
Have you quite lost your senses, Philip?
I'm sorry if it was premature to break the news. Remember, it is my birthday and these are my oldest friends.
I think that the birthday of mine have gone to Philip's head. Forgive this piece of schoolboy folly and forget it if you can. He will apologize when he is himself again. Shall we go into the drawing room?
Yes, of course. Come, Louise.
Rachel, you can trust the Kendalls. They are.
You make me feel like a backstage servant creeping to some attic with a groom. I have known shame before, but...
You were not ashamed last night at midnight. You gave your promise then.
But my promise? What promise?
To marry me, Rachel.
You know very well I gave you no such promise.
You asked what I wanted as a birthday wish. Then, as now, there was only one thing in the world I could ever ask, that you should marry me. When will you marry me?
Never, Philip. If you had hoped otherwise, I am sorry. I had no intention to mislead you.
What about last night? Was that pretense?
I wanted to thank you. That was all. You had given me the jewels. Why do you stare at me? Oh, what have I done?
Never leave me. Swear it. Never. Never.
Philip, you're choking me.
Will you marry me now?
Philip.
Ah, Mr. Philip. Good evening. We're three for dinner.
Why three?
Miss Pascoe. She's been here since 3 o'clock. The mistress went calling and brought Miss Pascoe back with her. She's come to stay.
Miss Pascoe come to stay? Where's Mrs. Ashley? Rachel? Rachel? Rachel, can I see you alone?
I see no need for that. You are at liberty to say anything you please in front of Mary.
Oh, please. I don't wish to make an intrusion. I can easily go to my room.
Leave the doors wide open, Mary, so you can hear me if I call.
Why have you done this?
You threatened me last night. Once was enough. I will join Mary.
Excuse me.
Where is the letter? Ambrose?
I have been ill with fear and a bad headache.
Help me.
She has a tendency to evade, to die, to withdraw from me.
Ambrose!
He keeps asking about my will.
Oh, God!
One thought possesses me, leaving me no peace. Are they trying to poison me?
Ambrose!
You're ill. What is it?
Seacombe says you are ill. What is the matter?
Will you send her home? I won't do anything to harm you. Give you my word of honor.
Get on. Both of you, help Mr. Ashley to bed. Tell Wellington to send the broom quickly for the doctor.
Rachel.
Don't talk now. Only life to
send them away. Send them away.
So you went swimming at midnight in the sea
That was a foolish thing to do.
I know too much of this kind of fever to be mistaken. I have seen children die of it in Florence. It affects the spine and then the brain. Do something, for God's sake.
Don't leave me. Promise not to leave me.
I promise. I will be with you all the time.
The tree has all its leaves. Look.
Philip.
Oh, I've grown a beard. Did you send her away?
Send who?
Why, Mary Pascoe.
She has been gone these 5 weeks.
I think I must have been ill.
You nearly died. I have small regard for your English doctors. You had meningitis, which no one here knew anything about.
What pulled me through?
Your own horse strength and certain things I bade them do. A serum made from the juice of herbs. The doctors called it poison, but you survived.
I think I'm strong enough to get up.
You are no such thing. By the end of the month, we may get you below and sitting out of doors, but we shall see.
Can we not tell them soon?
Tell them what?
That we're married.
Oh, God. What do you mean, Philip?
Tell the servants.
But we are not married, Philip.
We are married. Of course we're married. It happened on my birthday. Have you forgotten? Tell me it's true. It would have been better if you'd let me die.
Oh, hush, hush. All will be well. I will return to Florence. You will manage the estate here. And you will come to visit me in Florence at the villa.
Go back if you will, but not just yet. Give me a few weeks to hold in my memory. I'm no traveler. You're my world.
There is still weakness for Ashley. After that sickness.
What is the matter, Philip?
Nothing.
You don't seem to pick up as you should, Mr. Philip. We were talking of it in the steward's room last evening.
What is the matter, Philip?
Nothing.
What's come to our master, says Tamlin. His wish is a ghost on our wing.
Tell Tamlin to go about his business. I'm perfectly well.
Get out of England soon, Mrs. Ashley, before you destroy yourself and this boy with you.
No.
You love her more than ever. I can see it by your eyes.
Leave me alone with her and go.
What is the matter, Philip?
Nothing. Do you meet anyone as you go about the town?
No.
But you were away all afternoon.
May I not go where I please?
Drive to Bodmin or Truro. Go where you please.
Mr. Philip, what brings you here?
Sea air, Wellington. Is the mistress still shopping?
No, sir. She's in the parlor of the Rose and Crown. Same as always. Visiting the Italian gentleman, Signor Rinaldi.
How long has Rinaldi been staying at the Rose and Crown?
That is my business.
Mine also. Answer me.
Very well. For the past 2 weeks.
Why is he here?
Because I asked him. Because he is my friend. Because I needed his advice and dared not ask him to the house. Oh, God, must I go through this again? First with Ambrose and now with you.
I hate Rinaldi. As did Ambrose. He is in love with you.
What utter nonsense. Rinaldi is my friend, my only friend.
Send him away, back where he belongs.
He will go when he is ready, but if I need him, he will stay. Indeed, if you try to threaten me again, I will have him in the house as my protector.
You would not dare.
Dare? Why not? The house is mine.
I am seized with pains and sickness, yet a violence. I can hardly stand. I have no power over my limbs. One thought possesses me, leaving me no peace. Are they trying to poison me?
I have brought up your tisana. Drink it all up. Rinaldi has left England.
I thought he had business still to do.
So he had. But matters of great urgency attended him at home. He has written to me.
When will you follow him?
It depends on you. You are very silent. Are you well?
Yes, I am well.
Philip, you keep your eyes fixed on one corner of the room as if you had seen a ghost. What is the matter?
I tell you nothing.
Drink your tisana.
I'm tired. It's late.
Don't wake her. It's all right. All right, now. Let her know. No. Ah, what's this? Seeds. What? Laburnum. These are laburnum.
I believe we should ask the Kendalls and the Pascoes to dine today as we used to. It's been so long and they will grow offended.
As you wish.
Mr. Kendall, please.
Mr. Ashley, sir.
Oh.
Yes, Tamlin, what is it?
Excuse me, sir. I looked to you yesterday when we were done work for the day, but couldn't find you. Just to warn you, if you should go on the terrace walk, not to stand on the bridgeway we're building across the sunken garden.
Why? What's wrong with it?
It's only a framework, sir. So we get working on a Monday morning. Well, the planking did look firm enough to the eye, but it didn't bear no weight upon it. Anyone stepping on them, thinking to cross to the other side, could fall and break their neck.
Thank you, I will remember.
Good day, sir.
Louise.
Yes?
Do you know that laburnum seeds are poisonous?
Yes, I believe so. I know that if cattle eat them, they die, and children too.
I want to talk to you, Louise. When your father leaves, make some excuse to stay.
Is looking very beautiful.
I have in mind to bring back from Florence next time I come to Cornwall a little statue like the one above my pool. Then we can put him to stand in the middle of the new sunken garden and make a fountain too. What do you think?
If you like.
Philip lacks all enthusiasm, Louise. Either he agrees to all I say or does not care. No tisana, Philip?
You drink it for me.
Mine is already poured. I like it to stand longer. This must be wasted. What a pity. Are you not well, my sullen one? Louise, what do you think of the tisana?
I am afraid that it would take me a little time to like it well.
Perhaps the musty flavor does not suit all persons. Now it is cooler. Who will walk with me in the garden? Louise?
I have promised Louise to show her an old plan of the Pauline estate I came across the other day.
Very well. Take her to the drawing room. I shall take my walk alone.
Stay here, Louise. Have a care.
Why? Of what?
Have a care of walking beneath the sun.
Mysterious boy.
Louise, I want your help. Come with me.
What is it? What are you dragging me to?
Here, her room.
Should we?
Close the door. I think she has tried to poison me, and that she did the same to Ambrose. The proof may lie in a letter from Rinaldi here in the bureau. You know Italian, you can translate.
Here's something. No, in English. From the bank.
Give it to me.
Dear madam, we thank you for the return of the Ashley collection of jewels, which, according to your instructions, as you are shortly to leave the country, will remain with us in custody until such time as your heir, Mr. Philip Ashley, may take possession of them. Yours faithfully, Herbert Cooch.
It's not here.
Have you looked through the blotter?
No. This is it. See if you can decipher it.
But it isn't in Italian. Read it yourself.
I will do what you ask of me in Florence. Do not delay too long. If, in the end, you cannot bear to leave the boy behind, then bring him with you. I warn you, though, against my better judgment. Have a care, and believe me, your friend, Rinaldi.
Does it give you the proof you wanted?
No.
There's something else here. A sketch of Cousin Ambrose, dated the month he died. It says, to Rachel, non remontare che le ore felici. Ambrose.
What does it mean?
Remember only the happy hours. Did she not show you this before?
No. No.
If there is no proof, you cannot condemn her. Oh, let's leave this room and go down into the drawing room. Look from the window. Is she returning yet?
No. She has not returned.
Why is your voice so strange? Is anything the matter?
Do you know the bell rope in the landing beneath the belfry? The one that used to summon the men to dinner? Go now and pull it hard.
What for?
Because it is Sunday and everybody is out or sleeping or scattered somewhere and I may need help.
Help?
Yes. There may have been an accident. To Rachel.
What have you done?
Rachel! Rachel! Rachel!
Part of the bridge still remained and hung suspended, grotesque and horrible, like a swinging ladder. I climbed down to where she lay among the timber and stones. I took her hands and held them. They were cold.
Rachel! Rachel!
She opened her eyes and looked at me. At first, I think, in pain. Then in bewilderment. Then, finally, so I thought, in recognition. Yet I was in error even then.
Ambrose.
I went on holding her hands until she died. They used to hang men here in the old days. Not anymore, though.
In My Cousin Rachel by Daphne du Maurier, dramatized by Bryony Lavery, Rachel was played by Francesca Annis, Philip by Adam Godley, Ambrose by Philip Voss, and Kendall by Terence Edmund. Rinaldi was played by Malcolm Ward, Louise by Una Beeson, Miss Pascoe by Rachel Atkins, and Young Philip by Alex Edivine. Sam Bates was played by David Shaw, Tamlin by Steve Jacobs, Mr. Cooch by Giles King, and Seacombe by Will Coleman. All other parts were played by the company, and the director was Claire Grove.